It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
It's morning. That's why I'm drinking beer.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, checking out the series and the episode. Of course, I do hope you hit that subscribe button. You'll get three new interviews sent to you every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That makes it a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can do so at any of the usual spots, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, at NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcasts from. Just subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. In fact, if you do it over at Apple Podcasts, if you're not already subscribed over there, you could do us a big favor and help the podcast grow just by heading to Apple Podcasts, hit the follow button, and then leave a review. Reviews go so far into helping these podcasts out. You know that, right? So head over there, leave the review. Then what you can do is take a screenshot of that review and drop it in the link in the show notes right there. And you do that, you could win some cool merch from Consequence. But of course, you could also help out, what we're doing here, go even further. And there's lots of reasons to do that. Just consider the guests that have been on recently. Guests like Julia Michaels and Ben Rice. They were on earlier this week and talking. They soundtracked the new Disney movie Wish. We had Omar J. Dorsey. He's part of the cast of Bookies on Max. We had Stacey Kent talking about her new record. Roseanne Cash dropped by. Kate Siegel discussing the fall of the House of Usher on Netflix. And speaking of Netflix, Shelley Hennig was also here to talk about that show Obliterated. We had ex-ambassadors, the band Chicago, REM, the cast of Goosebumps, the director from Hunger Games, Neil deGrasse Tyson was here, and Dolly Parton was here as well. That's just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today. So excited to once again be talking with synth pop legend and one half of Erasure, Vince Clark. Of course, Vince also helped start Depeche Mode and Yaz. And with all of that in his career, he's never done a solo record until now. It's called Songs of Silence. And while he is this mad genius of melody and catchy songs, this record is actually drone and ambient music. I would say there's no hooks, yet it still ends up being something that it totally captures you as you're listening to it. So we're going to talk about how he did that, how the record came to be. It was sort of an accident, nothing that he ever intended to do. So we'll get the backstory on that. He took inspiration from Blade Runner 2049. We'll hear about that and why ambient music is having a real moment right now. Vince is going to go on to discuss how his videos give the songs another dimension, adapting an old Union folk song, maybe a desire to work with Philip Glass. And, of course, I'm going to ask where they are with the next Erasure album as well. All that and more, we're talking Songs of Silence. It's Kyle Meredith with Vince Clark.
Kyle, hi.
I've already listened to this album multiple times, especially over the past couple of weeks, since it's been released. And I've just fallen in love with it. But as I read, and as I like, kind of love hearing, you never even meant for this to be a thing. Is that right?
Yeah, it started during lockdown in New York. And it was really me just doing some sound experiments in my studio. I had no intention of creating an album. I just started making these tracks and for my own sanity, really. And then it wasn't until I played the tracks to my friend at Mute Records, and he suggested, you know, that perhaps we could turn it into an album. But it was, as I say, it was never my intention. I was quite happy just to continue doing these experiments and keeping myself active.
I guess when I say it's funny, because, you know, when I think about the catalog that you've put out in the world, that all the music that you've given us through the years, and you know, assuming most of that might have been intentional and it just landing in a way, you know, some of the greatest songs of all time. And here you have something that wasn't meant for anything and still it lands in the same way with me.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, when I've been making and writing with Andy for Erasure, you know, there is always an end game, which is the release of a record. But I was really doing these tracks for my own sanity. You know, there was obviously, for myself and for everyone, there was lots of bad things happening around us. And I found doing this kind of music to be almost like a therapy, really. And then when Daniel from Mute Records suggested it become an album, then it became, rather than Drone 1, Drone 2, Drone 3, Drone 4, then I had to start thinking about titles. And then suddenly it's a record. But I mean, you know, to be honest, the best thing about this project is the process. You know, I like to be in the studio, and I like to see what happens with my various audio experiments.
Do you? Maybe it's, you know, what you were talking about, what was going on in the world and everything. But droney sounds being one thing, but do you find that because it's what I'm getting at, it still feels so cohesive, this, you know, the movements, and I think you've called them in the past the events that happened on this record. You know, what's the mood that you did find with these songs?
Well, it was different, really. I mean, the first track that I worked on was inspired by, I was watching Blade Runner 2. I'm a huge fan of science fiction, and I was listening, I watched it for about four or five times, I think, and on the fifth time I started paying attention to the soundtrack. And I thought to myself, well, I can do Blade Runner 3, I reckon. So I went into the studio and made this kind of soundscape. And then I played it. I sent the track to my friend Reed Hayes, who plays cello. And he put this amazing cello part to the track. And suddenly it went from being something very synthetic to something very human. And I think the tone of that track is the tone, the sentiment behind that track is the sentiment behind all of the tracks from the album, which is quite sad.
And we're talking about the Lamentations of Jeremiah, right?
Yeah.
the synth and the human side. I mean, we're still, you're still hitting on Blade Runner, I think. And that's the whole concept. That's the whole concept. I thought, doesn't it always come back to Blade Runner in a way? Someone was asking me why I like the Blade Runner scores, which I do. I liked it. And I wasn't really able to verbalize it other than it just makes me feel good. You know, you've lived inside it a bit more. Like, why do we return to maybe that score specifically, but even that sound? Like, why is that comfortable to us when it's supposed to be cold?
I don't know. I think the coldness is the comfort, actually, you know? I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if you're a fan of Blade Runner, but, you know, when the Blade Runner 2 came out, I'm thinking to myself, well, there's no way it's going to be as good as the first movie. And I watched it the first time and I thought, no. But then by the time I got to the fourth viewing, I thought, you know, this is really, really good. The storyline, the way that it all joins up to the previous movie. And there's a certain comfort in that, I think. You know, it wasn't absolutely new characters. So I don't think that the soundtracks for those kind of movies are necessarily cold. I think they're more wondrous.
I mean, definitely the imagination and the futurism that goes along with it. Yeah, I buy into, I mean, time travel, science fiction, yeah, but even further, like it put me in a time travel movie, and this isn't really a time travel thing, but it almost works in there. And that, I mean, that's, yeah, I go, well, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter if it's a good movie. If it's a time travel, I'll watch it. And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Vince Clark. I don't know, ambient music, if I'm reading the room right, seems to be having a moment right now.
Yes, that's definitely true. I mean, myself and a friend, we were doing a radio show. We did a two-hour spot every 2 weeks at a local radio station, and it was basically synthesizer music or electronic music. And after, you know, after we'd run out of Gary Numan remixes, I started delving into new electronic music. And I realized how much electronic ambient music has developed. I mean, it's quite incredible, really. I mean, you know, 20 years ago, if you said ambient music, I would have said, well, that's the sound of waves brushing against the beach or singing whales in the ocean. But it's much beyond that. And I think it's a lot to do with the technology that's available now for people to use. There's much more room for experimentation. And of all of the fields of electronic, or the types of electronic music, I think that ambient music has been developing the fastest. And as you say, I mean, I think it is quite recent. But there's some amazing, doing this radio show, it was an opportunity for me to really discover new artists and new music and to see what they were doing and what they were up to. And I was astounded at you know, how almost limitless this whole spectrum was.
Yeah, I don't know how much you allow yourself to place yourself in the pantheon of how that genre has developed. Obviously, you were there at the forefront of it, as well as Gary Numan and, you know, that whole crew. Do you hear your fingerprints in any of that stuff as you're discovering the new bits?
No. I mean, for this album that we've just released, it's not a song-based album. You know, there are no verses or choruses or bridges or sections, really. And it's a new genre or subgenre for me. And I was always curious when I listened. When I listened to some of this experimental electronic stuff, how people manage to keep it interesting without the use of the traditional kind of verse chorus format. So that's why I said earlier, I mean, you know, that whole process of learning a little bit of how to do that and how to make it, keep it interesting, was the best bit of this whole project.
And it is those moments that they happen. You know, you mentioned Reed on the cello. I mean, when he comes in on Jeremiah, and that was one of those moments where I just stopped and I was like, oh my God, you know, these incredible little moments. But also in, and just hitting back on something you talked about, having to come up with the titles of them. That title ends up being a little timely, I think, with what's happening in the world. You said you didn't mean that. How does it work for you then? How do these titles arrive with the actual, I mean, do they have anything to do with the sounds themselves?
Well, it was quite interesting because I've never had to do it. I've never had to name tracks or name albums. I've always left it to Andy because I've never been that interested in it, to be honest. And then, you know, I knew that I couldn't call the tracks Drone 1 and Drone 2. But for some reason, the titles for the tracks came almost immediately. It took me, I think, it was about 30 minutes for me to come up with the titles for all of the tracks. And the title of the album itself, I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of a homage to the sounds of silence. You know, and I'm a huge Paul Simon fan. But also, I mean, it aptly describes exactly what the record is. You know, it's not a vocals. It's not a vocal album. It's not a song album.
But because of those titles, of course, you know, like I'm a product of my time. I grew up in the 80s and 90s, you know, I grew up in the music video generation. So songs and image, they're married. Anytime I hear certain songs, I see the video, you know, and I could go through dozens and dozens of videos. It's like, that's the one. So when you give these songs titles, that's where my mind goes. You know, it's suddenly I'm putting together that movie in my head, even though I've never seen it. Does it work? Are you seeing the visuals as you're hearing these?
Well, that's interesting, actually, what you say, because it almost gives the song kind of like another dimension. As you say, I mean, you might listen to the track and think of it in a certain way. Then you see the title and then suddenly it's something different. And we just did a kind of a performance of the album in London a couple of weeks ago. And that I incorporated lots of visuals for that performance, made lots of videos, commissioned a few people to make videos. And then again, suddenly there's a third dimension. So, and I love the way that you can take a track, put an image to it or a moving image to it, and it becomes and means something completely different. But that's how soundtracks work, right? I mean, really, you know, if I were to do the score for, if I had done the score for Blade Runner 2, you know, it could have turned out to be something completely different. Not a different film, but you'd see something different because of what you're hearing.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Vince Clark. There, and it is a vocalist album, but you know, you do have a song like Black Leg, which I don't know if you call those vocals. What's the story behind this one?
Yeah, so Black Leg Minor was it's an old union song from the UK. I was about, I think it must have been at least 20 years ago, but Martin Ware from Heaven 17 gave me probably a cassette of that recording of the a cappella vocal. And at the time, he and I were doing music for art installations. And he gave me this track and said, you know, maybe you can make something of it. And I tried for years to do something with it because it was such a moving piece of audio. And I never could. And then I had this track going of one of my drones going. And I thought, I wonder if this will work. So I placed this a cappella vocal against the track and I didn't tune it, I didn't time stretch it, I didn't time it or anything. It just sat there absolutely perfectly against this drone track. And I thought, well, that's karma. And I mean, I don't know if you know anything about Black Leg Miners.
Not much.
So back in the day, well, when mining unions first started happening, in order to break the strike, the mine owners would employ miners from outside the town to come in and work the mines. And these were non-union members, and they were called blacklegs, but they were hated
Scabs.
because they were scabs. Yes,
Yeah.
exactly. I mean, because obviously they were trying to break the strike. And the lyrics on that particular song are quite violent, quite harsh. I mean, the song has been covered by a few other bands in the past, and a lot of times people have taken out the really, really violent bits of lyrics. But I just wanted to include everything. I mean, and it's not a, you know, it was a political statement. It's not a political statement from my perspective. It was more of a historical observation. So yeah, that's how that track start. That's how that track became.
Well, it is, it's a powerful moment in there. Without even knowing the backstory, it kind of works, you know. It's, and you know, of course your ears perk up. I mean, here's vocals suddenly. Here's someone talking, you know. It's like just that anything new. But that's, you know, not to take away from what this album is, and I'm throwing a completely hypothetical out there, but because you've worked with so many infamous iconic vocalists over the years. Like, could you imagine if, is there someone you would think you could want to work with on a record like this, with a mood like this? Do you have that kind of person you'd have in mind?
I don't know. I mean, I think if Philip Glass gave me a phone call, then I would probably say, "Yeah, all right, mate, we can do things together." But you know, I like the solitude of doing stuff like this on my own, and whether it be an album or whether it just be for my own satisfaction, you know, I don't. It, you know, usually down in the studio, no one's really interested in what I do here in my house, apart from the cat. So it's usually just me and the cat listening to like hours and hours of droning music.
Cat's got good taste.
Yeah, he stays there, and if I pull out my acoustic guitar, he just leaves. Don't know why.
Cat knows what he likes. That's
Yeah.
on the other side, do you know what's next for Erasure?
Yeah, so even before I started with this project, I was working on some demos and ideas for the next Erasure record. Our tour, the last Erasure tour, got pulled short, got stopped, got cancelled quite suddenly. So, and then COVID happened, and so I started working on tracks for the next Erasure record. So I've got all of that prepped. I've got all of my ideas prepped anyway, my demos prepped, and I think Andy and I will be coming together and working together at the beginning of early next year. Beginning of early next year, we'll start working early next year on an Erasure record.
Do you find that there's any bleed over from this project to that, sound wise?
I think invariably there always is. It's, of course, you learn, you do one project and you learn certain tricks or techniques, and they're bound to be incorporated in your next project. It's the same when I do remixes for people. I learn little tricks, and if they're successful, then they invariably end up on an Erasure record as well.
Looking forward to hearing Andy singing on a drone track. That's in my head. I want to hear that. That's a juxtaposition right there. That's
Yeah.
Vince, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about this today. I really, really love hearing this album. My wife, who's a bit more of a pop fan, she's had this on in her office now several times. So it's you're getting some good spins around our household. So I appreciate you taking the time.
Your buddy, thank you very much. You're very kind.
And my thanks to Vince. The new album is called Songs of Silence.
Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. Three new interviews sent to you every single week. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. All the usual spots, Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. If you're already subscribed, please do leave a review. Again, that goes so far in helping us take the show further. Just leave the review wherever you listen from. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org. So I do a show. It's Monday through Friday, and it starts at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get lots of favorite and fun songs from the 70s, 80s, especially the 90s. Best in new music. There's bonus interviews. Lots of music news as well. Again, Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same, at Kyle Meredith. So do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Consequence Podcast Network.
All right, mate, I will speak to you. Well, hopefully I'll speak to you sometime in the future when you're a little older.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.